Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Lindy Ritz, director of the Mike Monroney Aeronautical Center, which is part of the FAA and the U.S. Department of Transportation. Good morning, Lindy.
Good morning.
And joining us in our conversation also from IBM is Dave Abel. Good morning, Dave.
Morning, Paul.
Well, Lindy, let's start by finding out about the Aeronautical Center in Oklahoma City. Could you give us a brief overview of this center and what it does?
We started in 1946 as the CAA, or Civil Aeronautics Administration. And what's interesting is the senator at that time, Mike Monroney, was really the impetus behind it. He ended up writing the first aviation bill, and he was known as Mr. Aviation. We are located on leased land, leased from the city of Oklahoma City, and it was envisioned that we would be the centralized training and logistics facility. So to give you a sense of what we look like, we're on 1,100 acres. We have plenty of land to expand. We have about 55 major buildings, so it's like a little city, really, and 3 million square feet of space inside. Organizationally, I'm kind of a microcosm of FAA and Department of Transportation. I have 9 primary organizations reporting to me, but then there's 24 other straight-line organizations that I support in various different ways. What was ingenious in my mind from Mike Monroney was that he envisioned way back in the 40s that we could have a centralized support function, one-of-a-kind functions, all located centrally in the United States. And that has prevailed. And as we get more and more emphasis on centralization, bottom line, how do you do things more effectively and more economically, the center is really situated to provide that.
How does the center support the FAA mission?
Again, we're a microcosm of FAA and, in a lot of cases, Department of Transportation. I mentioned one-of-a-kind function. One of our primary areas is training. We have the FAA Academy. It's the principal source of technical training for the FAA. And, of course, we do have some reimbursable agreements. We're accredited by North Central Association for Colleges and Schools. We used to bring most of the students in for certain segments. Now, through different advances in training technology, some come in for residence courses, but we also do web-based training, computer-based training. So we touch every technical employee in the FAA, either by air traffic control training, aviation safety inspector training, airway facilities with engineers or electronics technicians. So we touch, as these people go back into the regions across the country, we're the ones that have impacted their technical skills. Another major organization for us is the Logistics Center. One of a kind. We're located at 28,000 locations. So when you think about all the national airspace system that's made up of navigational aids, radars, ILSs, the Logistics Center is responsible for repair, overhaul, engineering services, storage, distribution, and we also do life cycle planning related to how long you keep an asset going. Again, the Logistics Center is one of a kind, and sometimes we do direct ship, but a lot of times the assets come out of our warehouse in Oklahoma City. One of the highlights of the Logistics Center, they've enjoyed some, I think, incredible success in the last few years. They were awarded the Presidential Quality Award in both 2000 and 2001, and they're ISO certified. Another big area at the Aeronautical Center is what we call business services. They are the cross-cutting support areas, Office of Financial Services. We do enterprise services, IT services, and we're really coming together as an integrated business solution now, trying to look at the functions that we think we provide the best, and how do you bring them together and provide the best resource for the customer. One critical asset for us is we operate out of a franchise fund, which allows us to have a revolving fund. It's perfectly suited to do fee-for-service and bring in money from a variety of customers and be able to provide services back to them. We also, our customer base does not just stop with FAA. We provide significant amount of services to the Department of Transportation. Right now, we provide 11 different DOT operating administration with permanent change of station. We do 100% of that work. We do TDY travel. We do accounting. So we're really, again, building a critical mass as being the largest provider of financial services to all Department of Transportation. We're very proud of the fact that we started the Transportation Security Administration in a startup, and they went from about 9 people in the first pay period to about 63,000. We still do their payroll for them. We do their accounting, and we do their travel, even though they've moved on to Homeland Security. And we have started discussions with various other government agencies to be able to provide them that kind of service.
Lindy, let's talk a little bit about your role as a director of MMAC and the Aeronautical Center. Tell us a little bit about what your responsibilities entail.
I sometimes think of myself as a conductor because there's so many different functions, and I am blessed to have a lot of very talented and creative people. So my job is surely not to get into the day-to-day work of it. It's how does it come together? If you use the conductor analogy, how do you make sure that each individual musician is playing to the best of their ability, but when it comes together, it's melodious and it connects, as opposed to one outdoes the other or overshadows. What makes my job fascinating is on a given day, I might be involved in talking about a brand new accounting system. I may be looking at state-of-the-art training concerns in technical arena, maybe talking about a logistics issue, or frankly, when you have the size of the organization I do, you spend a lot of time on people and budget issues. So it's trying to get the best, which is not hard because we've got very creative people, but trying to maximize their potential, trying to be collaborative and make sure we're not duplicating initiatives, and really have the center as a whole come across as a unified entity.
You mentioned looking at budget issues. It's a very diverse set of activities in your mission. What type of budget does it take to be able to operate the center?
If I add up all the different budget areas from F&E and operations, we come out right at $1 billion a year. And the impact on the economy, which Oklahoma City is very pleased to have, is about $150 million a year.
There's a diverse set of skill sets that are required. And from having visited the center before, I know that a lot of the things you do are different than what a lot of other organizations do in government. What type of skill sets are necessary in the people that you have employed at the MMAC?
Well, if I go back to our inception, we started with 350 employees, ironically, primarily women, because of the war involvement, and we've grown now to about 5,000, and that would include government employees, contractors, and at any given time, we have a certain segment of our students coming in because we train about 20,000 a year. If you start going around the center and you look at all the different functions, we have over 200 different job series. So one of the nice things when we're recruiting people to come to work for us is that if you have the drive and the initiative and the wherewithal, you can move all over and physically stay in the same location. But it's like you can go to a totally different world. You can go from the Academy of Logistics. You can go to our Civil Aero Medical Institute, which is a fascinating organization. You could be into a regulatory area where we have airmen aircraft registry. So if you start looking at the range of functions and a lot of professional and technical occupations, it's a very neat coming together collaboration of skills.
You have had a unique experience in your progression, your career progression through the government. It's been dynamic as well. Can you tell us a little bit about how you have progressed to your current role and where you started in the federal government?
I don't think I would call my career textbook in the way you read that you go from space to space. I got out of college with a marketing and merchandising major and never really gave it a thought to go to work for the government. My husband and I moved to New Orleans, and I decided it was time to go to work. I started looking at some jobs related to my field and realized that that really was not going to be a good fit. And quite by accident, I was asked to take a 700-hour job with the Forest Service as a GS-3. Then I was focused on, well, if I like this, how do I get to be permanent? I was able to be a temporary for a year and finally was able to be a permanent 3. I thought that was the best accomplishment I had. It didn't matter if I had a degree. You realize you've got to get in at the ground floor. I worked for the Forest Service for a few years and then transferred to the Navy in Corpus Christi. Had to take a downgrade when I transferred, found out the ropes, how it worked. A big breakthrough for me was to be selected in Navy's development program in HR, and that allowed me to progress like a 579, and get trained in every aspect of HR. I just felt liberated as far as I was in an area that, I really liked. I then moved up, and about that time, we decided to transfer to Oklahoma City. The benefit of working for the government, of course, is that you have status, and you can then contact other government agencies and say, this is what I'd like to do. I was very fortunate because FAA was willing to select me as an 11 and bring me into their HR organization. From there, NFA was just fabulous as far as providing me opportunities to try my skills. I moved throughout the HR organization in various management functions and ended up then being the human resource management officer. From there, probably one of the best things for my career is FAA had the beginnings of a candidate development program, and I was in class one. They'd had previous classes several years prior to that, but they wanted to resurrect the program. There was about 21 of us that were selected into the program, and this was to be the pool for senior executives for FAA. One of the strengths of the program is whatever area you grow up in this case, I'd spent most of my time in human resources, at least temporarily, they want you to get out of that and into another organization because we all know you manage differently if you've never grown up in that arena. And I moved from HR to the logistics side. I went to the logistics center as the deputy. Big difference. A lot to learn, a lot of the technical implications, but it was a good move for me. And from there, totally different direction. And again, it was just a great opportunity that was afforded me. I went to Aviation System Standards and became the deputy there. This is an area that takes care of the fleet for FAA. We took care of, at that time, Airman Aircraft Registry, so very aviation-focused. Good thing for me was I was going to totally different organizations, but I wasn't physically moving, which is very atypical. I did some detail time in headquarters, as I think everybody should, and from there, I became the deputy of the Aeronautical Center, and then in 1997, became the director of the Aeronautical Center.
Well, that's very interesting. The management agenda of this administration is focused on the president's management agenda. How is the Mike Mulroney Aeronautical Center doing with the issues called out in the PMA? We'll ask Lindy Ritz, director of the Mike Mulroney Aeronautical Center, when the Business of Government Hour continues.